Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
VSiN's Tim Murray, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime, airing from 5 until 8 local time here. You can follow him on Twitter at 1TimMurray. Also, he's now in the mock draft game. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel terrible. Why would I feel good? Mock drafts are impossible, and they're just for you to get criticized when you don't get anything right. But, you know, it's funny. I put out the mock draft yesterday. We talked about it on the show, and immediately I wanted to change everything. And my most recent what if for the draft, if folks have been following it, is what if the Vikings don't want to trade up?
But what if they can't? Like, what if they don't have the actual price tag?
I mean, they have two firsts this year and, their picks next year. So, in theory, they should be able to move up. But
are you saying what if we get a little Darnold magic?
Or, yeah, what if the Patriots said, yeah, we want Drake May? And what if all the big boards that have J.J. McCarthy around 20th, maybe that's the way the league feels about J.J. McCarthy, and we've been maybe going a little bit overboard on the Michigan quarterback, and what if he slides? You know, there's all these certainties, and, you know, when you talk about in the gambling sphere, you know, his over-under, J.J. McCarthy's, is 5.5, and it's juiced to the under, and you're basing that off of a trade. So the Chargers aren't picking J.J. McCarthy,
even though
Jim Harbaugh probably would.
What if?
Arizona's not getting him, but everything people have talked about, Cardinals are listening, New England's listening, Chargers don't want to make that pick. What if they do? What if they don't get the offer that, you know, I've kind of gotten to this point where it's Tuesday and the draft's on Thursday. I'm just questioning everything.
Well, I think it's a fascinating question because I was trying to think back and do it from memory. Obviously, last year, the Texans during the draft moved up to 3.
Correct.
To take Will Anderson. But it felt like in the last few drafts, until you started getting to like the mid, I think the Eagles knew that the Giants wanted Devontae Smith. And so they had targeted Devontae Smith. They end up trading with the Cowboys. But that was somewhere around like 11 or 12. But normally what we've been seeing is the trades that happen with the really high draft picks, they usually happen before the draft, because that's kind of what I think is going to be fascinating. I think now we can safely say 1 and 2 seem to me to be locked. Like,
yeah, I think we're at the point where all the Jaden Daniels Top Golf saga is by the wayside. There's a couple reports out there that say, oh, you know, Jaden Daniels would love to play for Las Vegas. Well, it ain't his choice. So I think Washington's going to select Jaden Daniels.
You know what I think Jaden Daniels would want more than playing for Las Vegas? To be the second pick.
Yeah, and to get that salary.
Yep.
And I think ultimately the tipping point for me was, look, I said it in my mock draft. There's been no information coming out of Washington, and I thought the you know, the odds move a week ago was a little overblown, getting up to minus 350 for Jaden Daniels to go number two without any information. And I think that's why we ultimately saw the pushback that we did in the betting market. And quick aside, real quickly, for those new to betting the draft, this is not a, you know,
high volume
market. There's not high volume, and it's also a market where it moves fast. And I'll be honest, like, I'm not tooting my own horn here. I don't move the market for anything. I don't move the market for games. I don't do it. Discussions I've had on my show move markets, like, because it's just like, oh my God, that there's someone talking about it. You know, we got to shift a little bit, or a bet or two will move the market. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just a jabroni, but a lot of jabronis are able to manipulate this market. That's what I'm kind of getting to. So the odds market kind of shifted because I felt like there was pushback saying, well, what do we know? Why do we think Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy? I think the tipping point for me was yesterday when Daniel Jeremiah all along had Drake May going to Washington at two, and he flipped to Jaden Daniels going to Washington at two. So I think that was like, all right, this seems like kind of a, everything's been smoothed over. This is the way it's going to happen. And then number three with New England, you know, you're getting all these reports that there was a report that Elliot Wolf, who's the acting general manager, he likes J.J. McCarthy, and then that Robert Kraft's son is kind of in charge of things now. I just, my gut tells me that they're just going to pick Drake May. And they're going to pick a guy who on most big boards is like top five, and a guy that we believed was going to be the number two quarterback selected. And there was even debates, you know, prior to this most recent college football season, that he was going to be the number one quarterback selected. So I kind of come back to this what if scenario. And if you're Arizona, you're like, all right, we could trade out, or we could get arguably the best prospect in this draft at number four in Marvin Harrison Jr. and have a hunky-dory time with that.
Yeah, that's to me kind of where, because I also pay attention, Kraft has been pretty vocal about we got to get quarterback figured out. And I just don't know how you can realistically say, to me, like, there's a key, if you want to make the argument that Drake, You'd rather bet on the upside of Drake than Daniels. All right, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I don't think that that's in such a different tier that I think that that is insane or something that's unlikely. I do think taking JJ there, that's unlikely, but that's kind of what I keep coming back to. I think if New England does what you and I suspect that they're going to do, I think that this can kind of end up being chalky for maybe all the way up until, I mean, honestly, you could talk me up to Minnesota. There's a world, I think, where Minnesota can get JJ at 11 if things break the right way.
I agree. And I think ultimately what a bunch of people have said, and I think it was Drew Dinsick, who is a, you know, professional sports bettor, he said it on my show, he said it other places too, where it almost feels like Minnesota's just kind of hanging back with the hammer, like, oh, you want to trade ahead of us? Yeah, we got another first round pick, so we're gonna trump your offer. And it's almost like, let's just wait and see how this board shakes out. Like, I think they want Drake May, and I don't think they're gonna get him. So maybe they like JJ McCarthy. I saw a report from Charles Robinson today that said they're going to wait and draft Bo Nix. I'm like, get out of here. Enough of this Bo Nix ridiculousness. Like, he's not a first-round grade talent. And, you know, I'm glad his dad was a coach, but, like,
well, he's also he started at Auburn too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a second-round pick. Look, I've told every radio interview, I've said it a million times on my show, if Bo Nix goes in the first round, it'll not be a joyous draft day for me. And I'll eat my crow. That's fine. But I'm not buying it. Michael Penix, I can buy. Bo Nix, I can't buy right now going in the first round. Like, the Rams, I saw a report today that said, oh, the Rams could be interested in Bo Nix. Yeah, I could see that in the second round. Like, they're going to spend a 19th overall pick on a guy who doesn't really stretch the field vertically.
Well, in fairness, okay, they may not know what to do with a first-round pick.
That is true. They have not had one in 8 years or whatever it is. But, yeah, I kind of I've kind of come back to this thought, and I might tweak the mock draft a little bit, where I did have the mock trade of 11-5 to get J.J. McCarthy that a lot of people have kind of projected. But what if you're just sitting back and you're like, are the Giants going to take J.J. McCarthy at 6 after they just gave Daniel Jones a whole bunch of cash when it's, you know, Joe Shane and you know, he's kind of on the hot seat? You need to get players in there, man. Like, I know there was a report today saying they could trade up, but I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, let's go to 7, Tennessee. They got Will Levis. It would be hilarious if they drafted a quarterback at 7, but that's not going to happen. You have the questions about Las Vegas and Denver. I think Denver's move yesterday, while it seemed kind of random and funny, I actually think everyone said to me, you know, this same thought where it's like, Sean Payton's so stubborn that he probably would pick Bo Nix at 12 and think it would work. Or, hear me out, he's so stubborn that he thinks the former number 2 overall pick he could make work in Zach Wilson.
Well, and furthermore, I made this joke yesterday, which is kind of a joke and kind of serious. Are we not so sure that, like, Sean Payton's new mission in life is just trolling Nathaniel Hackett? You know, he blasts him for, you know, worst coaching job ever. Oh, by the way, you couldn't make it work with him. I think this kid's got some ability. I can make it work with him.
Like, that quarterback room is laughable right now, of Jarrett Stidham, the Nooch, Ben DiNucci, and now Zach Wilson.
But you're just gonna
add a dude who is basically one of them.
You know,
Bo Nix at 12?
That quarterback room is like a murderer's row of quarterbacks you don't want to have to watch on Sunday Night Football but have been subjected to way too much.
So I have this funny feeling that, and I, look, projecting the draft or predicting the draft is impossible, right? Like, I think Josh Norris from Underdog Fantasy had the best mock draft in, like, the history of mock drafts, and he got, like, 16 of the 32 accurate, which is, by the way, insane that he did that. But it's so hard, and one thing that happens tweaks it. So I think my gut tells me at 5, the Chargers are going to listen to offers, and they're just going to say, you know what? We're starting this thing anew. We got Justin Herbert. How about we protect him with Joe Alt or J.C. Latham or someone like that, you know?
Well, I mean, to me, that is kind of where I'm looking at. It's like, if the Chargers do pick at 5, what is the most obvious Harbaugh thing in the history of the world doing?
Picking a tackle.
Yes.
Or picking Blake Corum, but I don't think he'll do that.
Or, I mean, honestly, if he really would, that would be the greatest thing in the history of the NFL. If he really would back up the, I believe J.J. McCarthy is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And you, in fairness, you put Herbert on the market, he'd probably get a pretty good return.
Hey, maybe you, maybe the Vikings and the Chargers strike a deal on draft day where they pick J.J. McCarthy and they trade Justin Herbert for that 11th pick.
I mean, that would be the ultimate Harbaugh. But I also, like, the problem in that is I think probably 95% of Harbaugh taking the Chargers job was he thought he had quarterback figured out.
Yeah, and I'm totally not. Agree. He could have had any job in the NFL, and he picked the Chargers. Why? Because it had the best quarterback.
Yeah, and to me, it's like, I'm notoriously here. I am a Herbert truther. I do not have the Herbert gene, but I would, if the option is Herbert or J.J. McCarthy, even I am taking Herbert.
Right. So,
but the question is Harbaugh crazy enough to do it? But to me, it's like, I don't know. I don't hate that idea that you said with J.C. Latham, because I think Alt might fall into this category of sometimes when you've been, like, the best player, the projected number one player for so long at a position, you kind of give the opportunity for front offices to overthink it. And it's like, I could see where, even though Alt might wind up being, Alt to me is kind of in the, he's Wisconsin adjacent, even though he's a Notre Dame offensive lineman. That feels like a guy, I don't know if he'll be a Hall of Famer, but it feels like he's going to play 12 years of tackle.
I've kind of gotten to the point, too, where I did it in my mock where I didn't have Dallas Turner going 8, but we got into this massive kind of groupthink as a drafting world where it felt like every mock draft that you looked at was alt 7, Dallas Turner.
Well, no. Neighbors, because you know, my Giants. To everything you just said, like they need to go get weapons. So Neighbors 6, alt 7, Dallas Turner 8. Who did they have at 9?
9 was where it got a little weird. It was more like Roma Dunze.
Yeah, and then everybody, yeah, because it was the Bears, right? That's the Bears' second pick. And then everyone was like, well,
Brock Bowers.
And I'm sitting there thinking, like, when's the last time, like, when's the last time that Rodgers had, like, the stud tight end?
I mean,
back to, like, the 2013-14?
It makes a lot of sense for them to get Brock Bowers, but it also doesn't, where... You know, then I read from Tony Pauline today, who's kind of been on the table, that Brock Bowers will be a top 10 pick. But he also said that Joe Douglas apparently loves the tackle out of Oregon State, Fuaga. So, you know, he could go 10. The interesting thing, just kind of big picture, is we've started to hear a couple more defensive players getting love outside of Dallas Turner. Liatu Latu, the edge rusher at UCLA, who had the neck injury, he's rising up boards a lot now that he's been reportedly cleared by everybody. And then Byron Murphy is the latest one. It started last week. Daniel Jeremiah said, you should buy stock in Graham Barton from Duke and Byron Murphy from Texas. And then Todd McShay on Russillo's podcast
PNT, yeah.
He was like, hey, Byron Murphy's a guy that everybody keeps talking about, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's the first defensive player selected. So, like, you're starting to hear this kind of late buzz for a couple of these players. And we always see a surprise, like Andrew Thomas. Your Giants selected Andrew Thomas, in 2020?
It was the COVID draft.
And I forget who there was like a consensus guy who was number one, and Andrew Thomas went to the Giants. So, you know, Jim Harbaugh got to see J.C. Latham up close and personal in the Rose Bowl, probably watched 2 weeks of tape of Alabama. Did he pop off and say, oh, look at J.C. Latham? J.C. Latham, I'll point this out, you know, Lance Zierlein over at the NFL Network, he has Latham 9th on his big board ahead of Joe Alt. So, you know, it's not crazy to say that Latham could go ahead of Joe Alt. So I took a couple, you know, at this point I'm taking flyers, like a little like, hey, you know, what if this happens? So at DraftKings right now, Joe Alt, he's down a little bit. He's at plus 425 to be the number 5 pick. But J.C. Latham's 28-1. So I took a slice of both of those. Just like, hey, you know, what if this happens? Like the what if, right? Because J.J. McCarthy's the favorite to go 5. He's plus 240. All right. Well, what if the Chargers don't trade out? Who do they pick? Do they go wide receiver? I think they would pick Harrison, but I think Harrison will be gone to Arizona at 4. And then if Harrison's gone, they probably go left tackle. In what is thought to be a really, really good draft for left tackles.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I think if they stay put, I think it's either Alt or it's gonna be you got the J.C. Latham thing in my head.
Every mock draft I've been looking at lately has had J.C. Latham going like 11, 12. I put him to the Chargers in that mock trade that I had. I keep coming back to, I feel like there's this driving force on Latham. And I think because we've talked so much about, you know, Fuaga and Alt and the kid from Washington, whose name is escaping me right now. He's Futano, but he's more of a guard. I think J.C. Latham, you know, based off of these kind of big boards that are out there, and Daniel Jeremiah worked in a front office, so I feel like he is... pretty fair comparison to what people around the league think. I think J.C. Latham is worth a look at his under, which is 14.5 right now. And, you know, taking a flyer. Once again, you know, this is the point where I'm just kind of, I've set my bets, my big bets. I've kind of placed them all out there over the past couple of weeks. And now at this point, you're getting a little nuggets information. All right, let's try that. You know, let's dabble here and see what happens.
Well, I think the other problem, and this isn't specific to your mock draft, like in general, I think we always think there's going to be more fireworks than there always ends up being. Like, I even remember last year thinking, with the exception of Arizona trading, I'm sorry, the Texans trading up with Arizona, although it turned out that new Texans front office were like just absolute snipers. Like, they had everybody hoodwinked, just whether it be Stroud, whether it be moving up to three. But for the most part, I feel like we always spend like the first like hour and a half going like, is anything going to happen? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like it just kind of goes, it goes fairly chalky in the sense of like no big draft, like trades. And then it also feels like, okay, then when someone goes and gets a receiver, then everybody goes and gets a receiver. Like, there's always a run on positions.
I think my guess is also, this is what I've been kind of sniffing. After the top three receivers go, which is Neighbors, Adunze, and, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr. In whatever order, probably Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, but we'll see. I think there's going to be a wait. Brian Thomas Jr., the kid out of LSU, reportedly has a shoulder issue. He's been dropping on a lot of big boards. A lot of things are coming out about Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. I played his over 27.5. I think Ladd McConkey probably ends up getting picked in the first round. I saw Peter Schrager say that yesterday.
You had that as – are you sitting on a plus 300 ticket?
Yeah.
Good for you.
That was my first bet of the draft season. It was like 2 weeks ago. I gave it out on the show. I placed him under 34.5 of his draft selection at Circa when that came out too. To me, it feels like the back end of the first round, whether it be the Bills, that's where I had him mocked to, San Francisco, Kansas City, even though Kansas City, apparently there's a lot of smoke around them drafting the BYU tackle, Kingsley Suamatia. But it seems like a guy is like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just get a guy who's a precise route runner, can catch everything, and will be a day one starter, and we don't have to worry about any headaches. You know, Xavier Worthy, I don't know. I'm curious about him because he's the guy from Texas that ran a blazing, you know, 40 time, but that's kind of all he got. So, you know, I think under 6.5, it's taken a lot of bets. It's like minus 300 now. But, you know, as I pointed out in my mock draft on VSiN.com, I think over offensive linemen under wide receivers is the most likely outcome. I think we see 10 offensive linemen, maybe 11, come Thursday.
All right, one more flyer before I want to pick your brain on the NBA. So if I were running my own NFL team, when it comes to defensive players, I have one rule. If you don't have red flags, I've got red flags. It was the same reason why I wanted the Giants to take Micah Parsons. Like, I want my defenders to have red flags. I'm not trying to get Boy Scouts here. I'm trying to get guys that'll take your head off. I don't hate T'Vondre Sweat at plus 1,300 because I can see some front office going, you know, this guy's got first-round talent here. And, we're not condoning the actions, but this is an incredible value.
Yeah. I mean, look, 13 to 1.
It's a flyer.
Yeah, I'm not going to push back on anyone on a 13-1 bet. But yeah, I mean, could it happen? Sure. Why not? I doubt it. But yeah, I mean, you never know, right?
That's the thing about the NFL. It's like everyone's got
takes one team. And that's where, like, look, while I feel confident on my Bo Nix not to go in the first round, it just takes one dumb team to be like, you know what? He's a precision passer, and Robert Griffin III said he's, whatever he was on social media comparing him to some Dragon Ball Z character. I don't know what the hell he was talking about, but I'm fascinated, man. I'm really intrigued by the draft. I love it. It's my, even before betting was incorporated in it, it was one of my favorite events every year, and
We root for bad franchises, so we have to love the draft.
That is true. That is true. It's the day of hope for all of these different franchises out there. But I think the ultimately last thing for me is I have a bet on or against Michael Penix Jr. I guess I bet against him a little bit because I took plus 260 on under 4.5 quarterbacks.
But yeah,
I think Michael Penix is fascinating because he feels a little
under the radar.
I don't want to say Hendon Hooker because like Hendon Hooker was like, oh, you know, teams are loving Hendon Hooker, went in the third round. Now Hendon Hooker was literally hurt at the draft. You know, he had the torn ACL in his final year, unlike Michael Penix Jr. I think If I was forced to make a bet today and I said, would he go in? I guess I'd say yes, but I think there's a lot of front offices that are like, I don't know, man. Like, can't really make the layups. He could hit the home runs, but we need consistency. So, I don't know. Maybe one desperate team. Maybe the Raiders are desperate with Antonio Pierce. I don't know. That's another one that's becoming too, like, commonly discussed. Penix at 13 to the Raiders. I'm like, well, his over-under is still 32.5. Just pointing that out. So, we'll see.
No, I'm with you. But, like, it's my deal. Is honestly, though, if you give me the tier of Penix, McCarthy, and Bo, I think I want Penix. But I do think a big problem with Penix is almost everyone agrees if you're going to pick him, you have to be good up front. And, you know, how many elite – I feel like in the NFL now, it's just like the defensive linemen are just absolute animals. Like, you can only block them for so long. But I think I'm with you. You could talk me into a couple of quarterbacks falling. All right, before I let you go, I wanted to pick your brain on the NBA. So we obviously have a boring weekend in terms of home teams winning. I think home teams also covered. I think they were 6-2 covering.
7-1.
7-1. So only the Thunder didn't cover.
Yep.
Last night, all right, we get two road, we don't get outright winners as underdogs, but we got two road covers. Obviously going, you know, what you saw last, you know, it's always a gambling fallacy. I'm curious, in your mind, so we got the Bucks laying one at home tonight.
Yep.
After thrashing the Pacers, in which we had the Dame game. We got the T-Wolves laying 3 at home tonight against the Suns. And the Clippers laying 1.5. If you're having to take a look at the board, the money, what do you think the sharps are on right now?
It's a good question because I felt like, I don't know if they were sharp, but I felt like public support was on Indiana and Dallas for sure.
To start, no question.
First two games, and obviously they lost both of those. I think there's a belief that Indiana's going to bounce back. I'm not buying it, man. Like, Tyrese Halliburton, what is not getting talked about enough is, like, since he got hurt, he is not the same dude. Like, his stats in the first month of the season were outrageous. He was an all-NBA player. And now I'm like, you know, yes, Giannis isn't there, but Milwaukee still has Dame, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis is playing well. I haven't bet anything tonight. I do think maybe Phoenix bounces back. I was disappointed in Phoenix's performance, and Anthony Edwards obviously was incredible in that game. But
the only thing that gave me concern about Phoenix was, yes, Booker and Beal were not good, and Durant was good. That wasn't really, though, what I saw the problem was. The problem that I saw was they were just getting absolutely crushed in the front court. Gobert was, and they were getting possessions that would last, you know, 3 or 4 shots. And I guess if Nurkic doesn't get in foul trouble, maybe that helps a little bit. But that was the one game one result where I was like, oh, this might be going a different way than we think.
Yeah. No, you're right. I'm having a hard time. Like, my partner JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, he's done awesome so far this postseason, where he's just like, we're overreacting too much to some of these results. So I'm assuming he's going to be on Milwaukee tonight.
Yeah.
I imagine he'll be on the Clippers tonight. And he was in Games 1. You know, Phoenix and Minnesota, I think you're onto something there, though, because it felt like, all right, Phoenix got hot and it was like, yes, here they come. Yep. This is the big three. And Minnesota is just like, nah, let's chill a little bit. By the way, just, you know, the Denver game last night, holy smokes. Like,
did you get live?
I didn't bet it. I should have. I know everybody jumped in on Denver live. But I was just sit back and was, you can't kill this Denver team, man. They're like the villain in a horror movie. It's like they were up 20 and it's like, okay, sure. We'll just keep chipping away. I mean, I thought whatever that offense was that the Lakers ran was some pucker tightness of like, oh my God, we're up 20. Got to win this game
let's
now.
Run clock,
let's
run.
Let's just run the clock and run a pick and roll.
It was like scared high school football coach, like inside zone three straight times. Let's run the clock.
Yeah, it really was. But I kind of thought after the steal and dunk, I was like, all right, Lakers going to win this. And then right back, whatever that play was to get the three for Michael Porter, I'm like, whoa. All right.
It was a good night of hoops. All right, buddy. We appreciate it, man.
All right, man. See ya.
That is, of course, Tim Murray of VSiN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.